The following is a sermon by Pastor Ralph Abernathy of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, located in Newton, North Carolina.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Luther's small catechism, in its third chief part dealing with the Lord's Prayer, encourages us to pray much as our Lord Jesus Christ does in today's pericope, today's reading from the Gospel of St. Luke. The introduction to the Lord's Prayer is, "Our Father, who art in heaven." Now, that relationship of Father between us, God's earthly redeemed children in Christ, and Him, our Heavenly Father, who not only created us, but sent His Son to suffer and die for us, so that through Him we could receive the adoption of sonship. This relationship is even closer than an earthly father's relationship with his children. And so Luther explains the introduction, "Our Father who art in heaven," this way. With these words, "Our Father who art in heaven," God tenderly invites us to believe that He is our true Father and that we are His true children, not counterfeit by any means, so that with all boldness and confidence, we may ask Him as dear children ask their dear Father. So, Jesus says, in the parable that constitutes today's gospel reading, that the disciples always ought to pray and not lose heart. There's the sermon. There's the parable. You and I, redeemed by Christ, disciples of Christ, ought always to pray and not lose heart when we pray. We ought always to pray. Now, this doesn't mean every minute of every day, every hour of every day, but we should always be ready to pray, knowing that our Heavenly Father is not indifferent to us and does not turn a deaf ear to our prayers. But for the sake of His Son, who is our intercessor before God, who is our high priest, our Heavenly Father hears us. But what do we pray for? And what do we do when we pray and pray and pray for something and nothing happens? Now, I'm not talking about praying for something frivolous like, "My husband will give me a 20-carat gold diamond ring for our 50th anniversary." I'm talking about more basic stuff, more solid stuff, more enduring stuff than that, and Jesus is too. How about praying for the conversion of a child who has gone astray from the faith? You pray and you pray and you pray, and that child is as far away from the faith as he or she once was. How about praying for healing from cancer when the doctor has given you a terminal diagnosis? You pray and you pray and you pray, and you get weaker and weaker and weaker. How about this one? It's one I've heard many times, and I know you have too. In nursing homes, someone confined to a wheelchair, "Pray that God will enable me to walk again. I just want to walk." And I do pray that for people, if it be God's will, they would be able to walk. But I've rarely seen it happen. So is God indifferent to our prayers? Does He not care when we pray Does he taunt and tantalize us with these words of Jesus that we ought always to pray and not lose heart? Well, let's look at the parable itself. Jesus says that there was a judge in this certain city who was basically a scoundrel. He did not fear God, nor did he respect men. He didn't keep either table of the law. He did not fear, love, and trust in God above all things. He did not love his neighbor as himself. Basically, he lived as his own God, and he was probably feathering his own nest and ensuring his own comfort by the bribes he probably received as a judge in this city. But there was this widow, this lowly widow, who in the time this parable was told, in the culture of the day, was without anyone to stand up for her. She apparently didn't have a son, because if she did, or a son-in-law, they would be the ones to see that she got what she wanted, and what she got was, what she wanted was justice against her adversary, against her enemy. There was no one to protect her, no one to defend her, so this widow, this poor, helpless widow, obstinately came before the judge continually. She kept coming to him and kept coming to him and kept coming to him and saying, "Give me justice against my adversary." There she was, every time he turned around, with this cry, "Give me justice against my adversary." And he shrugged her off. He refused for a while, but you know what? She kept coming, and she kept coming, and she kept coming. And so finally he says, though I don't fear God, I don't respect people, because this widow keeps bothering me over and over again, gives me no peace, I'll give her justice just to get her off my back, just so that she won't beat me down or literally give me a black eye by her continual coming. The poor widow got justice against her adversary. And here's the lesson, here's the point for you and me. Jesus says, listen to what the unrighteous judge says. He gave this widow justice because she continued to come before him. How about God? How about your heavenly Father? Will he not also give justice to his elect, to those he has chosen in Christ Jesus? To those who cry out to him day and night, will he delay long over them? Well, sometimes it looks like he does delay long over us, when we pray and pray and pray for that loved one who has gone astray from the faith, when we pray and pray and pray for someone we love who is sick with a critical disease. But Jesus says, no, Jesus says, I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. He will give justice to them speedily against their adversaries. Who is your adversary? Maybe you've got someone you had a quarrel with about money, or someone you overheard talking about you, so you don't like them anymore, and you don't forgive them for what they said. Maybe you've got someone who belittles you for your Christian faith. Well, Scripture tells us who your adversary is and who mine is. Peter writes that the devil, our adversary, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, to resist him firm in your faith. The devil is your adversary. He is your accuser. He is the one who slanders you. He is the one who whispers in your ear, your prayer's not been answered. Maybe God isn't a loving God. Maybe he doesn't love you. Maybe he doesn't care for you. Maybe he doesn't even exist. We ought always to pray and not lose heart, even when the adversary tells those things to us. Jesus says, "I tell you, God will give justice to his people speedily." In the very next chapter following these verses, Jesus enters Jerusalem for the Passover. The passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, his final week on earth, is about to begin. Just a very short time after Jesus speaks those words, in his passion, Jesus bears the sin of the world. By his suffering and death on the cross, God's justice was worked. God's righteousness was satisfied because his justice says that sin must be paid for. The sinner must be punished and condemned. And yet Jesus, the righteous one, was punished in your place. God's justice was satisfied. God's claims against you were satisfied. God's verdict, God's condemnation of you was satisfied there on the cross. And the righteousness of Christ has been poured out upon you in your baptism. You see, God's justice was speedily given to his people there on the cross. It's not the justice you and I deserve. It's the justice that is a gift of God's grace. It's the justice accomplished by God's gift of his Son for you. His justice has been given to us. And his righteousness is given to us constantly as a gift, along with the forgiveness won on the cross. Your baptism is a sign of these things and a means by which these things were accomplished. The preaching of the gospel the same way. And in the gift of the sacrament of Jesus' body and blood, you are forgiven. You are strengthened in your faith. You are encouraged in that faith so that you might always pray and not lose heart. Because maybe the things you pray for, that child who has wandered astray, will be answered after you depart to be with the Lord. Maybe God is going to bring healing to that loved one by taking that loved one to himself through the gate of death, and that loved one being totally renewed as his or her baptism is fulfilled. We ought always to pray, and we do so as a church, and we encourage one another and build one another up so that we do not lose heart. And when the Son of Man comes, Jesus asked, will he find this persevering faith on earth? It's a rhetorical question. Sure he will. Sure he will. Because the gates of hell, the gates of the adversary, will not prevail against his church. And after all, God has given us the gift of prayer, but most importantly, he has given us the gift of his Son, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of our baptism, the gift of absolution, the gift of the proclamation of the free grace of God in Christ Jesus, and the gift of the sacrament, so that our faith will endure to the end. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Lord.